or when you're young in the ministry, it's awfully hard to do. And so anytime I see a man that gets discouraged when he hadn't been in the ministry all that long, I don't get irritated with him at all, because I understand. But I really don't pay attention to how many are here. I may ask where somebody is because I'm curious. I do like to know what people do. I'm their pastor. But I don't pass any judgment on it. I just accept it and go on. Now, in Revelation 8, 1 through 13, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour." There is no answer that I'm cognizant of that really establishes what that means. However, you will recall that when he opened the fifth seal, he told the raptured saints under the altar that there would be a little season until they were joined by their fellow martyrs that would be martyrs during the tribulation period. So there are a lot of expressions like this about the space of a half an hour. Well, does he mean half an hour? Half an hour after what? And we talked about the opening of the seventh seal, about the sixth seal. Now we're talking about the seventh seal. And I think that the Bible uses expressions like this to define, when he uses the word about the space of an hour in reference to an hour, or in reference to 100 years, you know. I just give you an honest answer. I don't know. What I have always thought for myself that gave me rest on this, I think that it means a space of half an hour, and I would call it the calm before the storm. Now, we have just finished with the sixth and seventh. We've just finished with the sixth seal. We're told that it is when the sixth seal is open, all of a sudden, the tribulation period is going to, boom, begin. And so it's going to begin. Now, what is the first thing that is going to start producing all the stuff that's mentioned from when the sixth seal begins down to the last verse in that chapter? And I think that this starts off, seal is open, there's a brief pause, and all of a sudden it starts. And what's going to be causing the sun, what's going to cause the great earthquake? What's going to cause the volcanic eruptions to go up? What's going to start it happening? There's a space of maybe a half hour after it's open that nothing happens. And then all of a sudden, the thing that's going to produce them starts simultaneously with the actual sixth seal. You go back and look at the sixth seal, there's a great earthquake. That's tectonic plates. There are all kinds of volcanic eruptions. That's the volcanic eruptions. This first trumpet are the beginning of it. Even though it starts right there in the sixth seal, there's a half an hour space, and then all of a sudden, the volcanic eruptions, the earthquakes, the tectonic plate movements, they produce where you can start to see all this happen. But it takes time for a volcano to build up, and it takes time for an earthquake to shift around, do its things. So I think that's where that brief pause is, because it's going to be produced out of the earth. He said, I will destroy them with the earth. So up from the earth, it goes. Now, you all understand that? You with me on it? Okay. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him such incense that he should offer it with the prayers of the saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, that may be happening in heaven, and that may be doing the first half hour. I can't say that for sure, but that may be happening in heaven prior to the first trumpet actually sounding. Well, it is, but I think that may be what is happening in heaven is not being observed on the earth for the space of about a half an hour. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar. Now this is the altar of God. And I take it that he's talking about the prayers of the saints. And I think he's talking about the prayer immediately before the curtain itself inside the actual temple building. The temple in heaven. And the altar of incense that was put there, it did smoke, and it did give off a very pleasant odor. And this would have been something that would have been very pleasant. They would have liked it. But here we go with it, and cast it into. Remember that into? It means just what it says. Cast it into the earth. Okay. What does that say? What is the earth? It's an oblate spheroid. And you've seen pictures of it. You've got a picture of it out there. What causes it to fire up, start coming up from beneath and forming volcanoes, to start the twisting as the magma moves around, or the tectonic plates? Well, it's this what God does from heaven. And the angel that works for God filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices. Were they audible voices? Sometimes they aren't. Sometimes they can't tell what they say, and sometimes they can. But, and thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. Now, I happen to believe that earthquake is probably the one that was back to start off the sixth seal. But I have no way of knowing that. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, they're getting ready to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. Okay. Now, by this time, with all this other stuff up here happening, the introduction at the sixth seal being the beginning of it, all of a sudden, there follows hail, kalaza, and fire, pir, mingled, joined together with blood, hamati. Now, the hail is kalaza, and hail can be, it could be actual ice. It could be like a great big hailstone. And so that's possible. But I have the most authoritative set of lexicons put out by two different sources. And they are the ones on whom all others are based. And in there, in both of them, it says it can mean a hailstone of ice, or it can mean a fiery stone that comes down from heaven. And there's another meaning for it. So I have a choice. And the context here and the actual statement literally implies, directly shows that this is not your normal hailstone made of ice, and it can mean a fiery rock cast out of a volcano. So I have a choice. Well, what it says, as you indicated, that's got to be a volcanic rock, and the hail that followed, hail and fire mingle. They don't mix. Hail, ice and fire, they don't mix. Now, when I come down to blood, and I could show you right out of these books, and I used to go around this lecture series, and I showed everybody in the audience exactly where it came from, the reference source, and I showed all the other references that believe this. And they were numerous. So that satisfied them with that. And then I showed them what this does to the earth, what it does to the atmosphere, and that the same God who's causing this made the earth. And he has used it time and time again. He used it at the flood. He said that he just said, I will destroy man with the earth. And then he told you how he did it. He broke up the fountains of the great deep. I proved to people in science that's exactly what happened. And, you know, some people say, well, just believe what it says. I do. But I have a lot more of inner peace and comfort, because there are some people that wouldn't believe any of this if I had not told them that. You say, well, that's no reason to do it. I think it's a very good reason to do it. But in any case, that's what he said. I know what he means when he says he broke up the fountains of the great deep. I'm going to take my time on this, and so some of these others that aren't here, well, maybe they'll be here next time. And so what I did, I told the teachers at Arkansas Tech University, I said, are there any fountains of water, spring water, that come up on those cracks along the east on the ocean seafloor? I'm going to give you the exact answer I got from every one of them. And I like them. We're good friends. They said, no. I said, absolutely not. No. I said, they are down there. So I went right ahead, and I didn't even tell them. You know, I said, and when the great deep was broken up, I said, those tectonic plates began to break up, and there was meteoric water down there. And that's all it could be. That was trapped down there in the early foundation. And I told the teachers at Tech that. I'm not trying to make myself look wise. I just want you to know what I've been through on this thing. And so, and they didn't, they just thought it was funny. They chuckled. I had three of them that chuckled at me. But I liked the guys, and they liked me. So about 3 years later, I've been presenting this all over the United States. And they come out with a geographic magazine, National Geographic. I picked that thing up, and there was a crack on the ocean seafloor with water bubbling up out of it. I mean, deep, deep, way down on the ocean seafloor in the Marianas Trench. And I looked at that, and I completely read the article. And they went down there in a deep sea diving bell. There was a whole bunch more of them. And it was fresh, meteoric water. Not seawater. So then, when they discovered that, they said, we need to do some investigating. They started sending down those deep sea diving bells all along those cracks in the Atlantic, all along the cracks in the Pacific, everywhere. Those things were all over the place. And the more they discovered, the more shocked they were. And they were still putting that water out like mad. They still are. So what did I go on? Faith. I believed what God said. That's why I don't argue with Leonard about you know, he says, well, if it says right there in the Word, I believe it. Like there's some kind of difference between us. There isn't. Because I have always believed this by faith. And I'm not being critical of Leonard. I think Leonard's finally accepting that I agree with him. You know, I would have gone ahead with this until I died, telling people they were down there. So all of a sudden, I love Leonard to death. Leonard's one of the most diligent preachers I know. I have tremendous respect from him, and I've Lord, and I'm hoping that one day maybe he'll understand why I do this. And I'm not being critical of him. I love him. I really think Leonard's smarter than I am. He studied this more than I have. But in any case, I believed it by faith because the Bible said it. 2 years later, I got rewarded. And I took it over to Tech. They didn't laugh anymore. And a lot of scientists that had laughed at that idea. And I told them how it happened, showed them in the Bible, the plates were lifted up, did all that stuff. I didn't hear any more challenges over at Arkansas Tech. And I didn't hear any from any scientist. But I got a lot of nice letters telling me that. And when I said Wormwood was a comet, I got a lot of opposition to that. But I knew it had to be a comet. Couldn't be anything else. Because I knew that the ingredients in it had to dissolve in the water. See, I believe God. He said the wormwood, the oceans and the seas became wormwood. What does that mean? That it had to dissolve in water. So, I believed God. I didn't anymore know what the ingredients were in that comet and Moody's goose. But I knew that whatever this was has to dissolve in water. Everybody said, well, it's a meteor, meteoroid, meteorite. I said, no. They're made of nickel, iron, and stone. They do not dissolve in water, period. So, am I teaching you anything that's wrong? No. I believed the word of God. And then finally they had a bypass on it, and guess what was in there? All kind of poison in ice that dissolves in water. But I believed it by faith. So, I think it's important to believe God's word, period. But I believe if you'll really read it, you'll believe it by faith, and then you'll see why it's true. In any case, that's the way I feel about it, and that's the way I'm going to teach it till the day I die. But I love to listen to Leonard, and I love him as a man, as a person, as a brother in Christ, and I have no criticism of him. And I don't think he has any criticism of me. And I think that we're in better fellowship now than we ever have been. And I'm very thankful for that. Now, he says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which were among them prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, there followed Colossa and Pier and mingled, mixed with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now there's one that's interesting. They were cast upon the earth. Wait a minute, look up here. Remember that into? Look up there and cast it into the earth. So what caused all the ruckus on the surface? God working inside the earth. Now look what it produced. Look what it produced. You say, well, is God that smart? Yes, he is. And when you say the word, preach the word, he's talking about preaching prepositions. I'm glad Tommy came up here. I taught Tommy some of this. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, prepared themselves to sound. The first sound that sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast up on the earth. Okay, they came down from above, didn't they? How'd they get up there? From the volcanoes that were created, generated because of God moving the magma and lava underneath the earth. Who else can do that? Nobody. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The devil didn't do what he was supposed to do. And God caused the earth to be tohu and bohu. But as I pointed out, since I first came up to this, one of the first things I ever did up here was teach people that the actual thing that happened was that God created the heaven and the earth, and he didn't create it, tohu and bohu. It became that way. I thought the devil did it. But when Leonard was teaching up here, I listened to all that, and I thought, he's right. You know, I changed my mind. You will never change your mind if you never change your mind, you will never learn anything. And Scripture is not something you should be hard-headed about. If you want to learn anything, you've got to realize you're not God, and you can't and just listen to what he says and do it. So I knew that it was true. In other words, there's enough here in Scripture. You don't have to be a geologist to understand it. You don't have to be a meteorologist to understand it. You don't have to be a scientist to understand it. But the same God who wrote it wanted me to be that. So I accepted. And here I am, and I tell you what I know about it. But I also take the word and literally prove to you from the word itself without any geology or any meteorology. It's the truth. And God did it. And the way I know he did it is because of the prepositions. That's how I learned how he did it. Because the first thing I ever got that I fell in love with was the into, epi, onto, ace. I know all those things by heart. I know exactly what they mean. And every time I see one in Scripture, bingo. And it was like a toy with me when I first got it. And I was younger than Leonard. And it was like a toy. And I loved it, and I played with it all the time. I just couldn't get it. I couldn't learn enough about it. It was made of marvelous. So when Tommy came along, I showed him this, showed him that. I showed Jen O'Lynn. And now that I'm an old man, it's not a toy with me anymore. I've memorized the thing. And every time I see one, I just light up. That's why I wanted to get Tommy Brown up here, because I wanted it to light up in our preachers, and I wanted it to light up in our church members. And it is. It's lighting up. And Tommy showed me a couple of things I didn't know. So this is a thing that you can't have jealousy in this. You can't have jealousy in this. When I was a young preacher, I was jealous. Oh, I was jealous. But God forbid, I'm not jealous anymore. I will freely admit that the other preachers in the church know as much or more than I do. My job is just now to pastor and teach and do this and do that and try to stay out of everybody's ways, not ever lose my temper, and to try to do what's right. That's what I'm going to do. This church is in better fellowship than it's ever been in, and I want it to stay that way because I love Donna and I love Leonard to death. And I love, I love Donna. And, I don't care much about her partner there, but I do try to help her on her hairstyles. I love you to death, Connie, because you're such a, character. And you were a welcome addition too, good Michael, because I love you too, because you are a character. And you fend in well with the rest of us. We couldn't have received you if you were normal. Oh, Lord. Oh, let's go on down here. Mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees was burned up. Well, did I believe that? I sure did. Just like it said it. And burned up. The third part of trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Well, I believed it. I just believed it. I believed that before I was a geologist or a meteorologist. But I made a trip up into Washington State, and was taken on a trip to every volcano from Mount Garibaldi. I didn't go up to Mount Garibaldi in the British Columbia. I wanted to, but I just didn't have time. Starting with the first volcano up in Washington, going all the way down the chain, there's a bunch of them, all the way through Eugene, through Oregon, all the way through Oregon, the next state down is California, and eventually all the way down to Mount Shasta, and then finally on down to Mount Larsen. You know, I went down there and I talked to people, talked to geologists, talked to other people, and I was doing lectures as I was going up and down. And I asked, you know, how far out did the, I asked it at Mount Shasta, at Mount oh, what is that famous volcano that went off up there? Mount St. Helens. I really spent time there. And I asked the geologist and I asked the people there and I did measurements. And I took a fellow with me that was very interested in all this. And I found out that when a volcano erupts, it sends out in all around it, I mean in a circle, all around it, all the way around it like this. Some parts of it go further this way, but there's a circle all the way around it. And in that circle, it burns up all the trees. I mean, it burns them down to the ground. And after that, you go on out into the next area where it's burned up all the green grass, all of it, every bit of it in that circle. All the green grass has been burned up. Well, naturally, it was burned up where all the trees were. And so, what does that prove? With the measurements I made and with talking to the people out there, and there was a man who was a geologist who was killed in that fire, and I used to keep up with his stuff. And do you know that in a volcanic eruption, you measure the whole area where all the green grass was burned up and compare it to where all the trees were burned up? Trees have roots, and they don't burn. They're not destroyed as easily as grass. You will discover that in that area where all the green grass was burned up, took the root and the roots, the trees survived. You will discover that only a third of the trees died. Now that's not by accident. You say, well, what does this prove? Well, let's just say, with the volcanic eruptions being so numerous that are mentioned, wouldn't it seem logical? And I am a mathematician. Wouldn't it seem logical if what is true of the part all over the earth is also true of the whole? That's logic, which I took 2 years of. Now, I would have to say to myself, I've got to tell people about this. Well, do you think it was wanting fame, recognition, and attention? Do you really think I didn't understand what was going to happen when I came into the Missionary Baptist ranks and tried to teach this when nobody had ever taught it before? Do you really think I was that stupid? Well, this guy that they're claiming is stupid, that says all Americans are stupid, maybe I'm stupid. And I didn't, you know, the fame, the attention, all that stuff. Man alive. I'm not asking for your sympathy saying poor old Brother Michael Murray. But the truth of the matter is, I had to do this. And if I had not have, God would have gotten somebody else. Because this was something I believe that God wanted known. God bothers me about everything. He bothers me about, what's so-and-so going to think of what I preach? It bothers me. You say, well, it shouldn't. I've got a carnal nature. How can it not bother me? But then after the carnal nature makes his attack, I come right back with, this is what God wanted me to do, and just give a big smile, and whoever gets mad at me, I just forgive and go on. He says, I tell you, it's about 20 till 5, 10 till 5. Is that what y'all got? Oh, 10 to 4. I can't see. Okay. Let's just break for a while. And did y'all bring anything? Did you bring anything to eat, Cooney?
I cooked it up to eat, but I left it set on the bone.
Left it where?
Set